your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years.
Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Well, I'm gone. Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what I was?
Yo, welcome back to the Hardline. 5 minutes back. Kevin S. 5minutesfan.com. 243 St. Louis, Missouri. We appreciate you guys hanging out. One of you guys would like to have a discussion right about now. Calling in, Rock, if you can see that. A couple notes here. Mike Anderson of your, formerly of your Missouri Tigers, and most recently of the Arkansas Razorbacks. 8 seasons there. He was officially fired. Look, Mike Anderson, I think it was a good enough guy. Missouri fans got a really bad taste in their mouth because his nickname was Suitcase Mike because it appeared just about every year he was looking to leave, either to actually leave or leverage to get a raise. I think there was something with Oregon one time. I think they leveraged to get a raise. I think there was something with Georgia one time, perhaps leveraging to get a raise. And eventually, look, he came up through that Arkansas system, right? So that the old 40 minutes of hell that he actually changed the name of, that is the system. Eventually, everybody figured that he would come back. That Nolan Richardson 40 minutes of hell thing, he'd clean it up a bit, the fastest 40 minutes in basketball. Bottom line is, he was probably a decent enough guy that Missouri fans really hate because the grass was always greener for him. And leveraged a lot of other schools and jobs to get some more money out of Missouri. He did have a really nice Elite Eight run there with Damari Carroll and them guys. Leo Lyons, that was a really fun group. But I think it's a, you know, he never did really run an offense. That was the issue, right? If you weren't getting steals and playing crazy defense, they went full court press all the time. They played really tenacious, crazy defense. If you weren't getting steals and you couldn't run offensively, they never did have an offense, right? It's like they relied on talent, and they relied on... Typically, that is the type of system you run if you lack talent, right? That's kind of the equalizer. And Mike Anderson, you have to have both. You can run that system, sure, but you better still be putting some time into offense. Or the other thing is, if you don't have that, you better have 3, maybe 4 lights out shooters that can compensate for your lack of offense.
Those are the best Mike Anderson teams we saw were because they were able to shoot their light. It was the three guard teams that we were able to shoot a lot. Denman, a young Dixon, Kim English, yep. Those guys, and then obviously it hit a different level when Haith was there and Bowers comes back from the knee and he's shooting threes. All of a sudden they're playing like a 5-out offense, but.
That's when they had Kimmy at the 4.
Yeah, and Kim's playing the 4 because he had to play the 4 when Bowers was out the season before that. But prior to that, when they still had Denman and those guys, and I think Dixon was a freshman, at 3-guard lineup, they were junking threes without a lot of set offense, but it was working for.
I think you may be mistaken on that. I mean, don't think Bowers played for Haith. I think he was injured that season. I believe that's true. You can check me on that one. I think
wasn't Haith the coach when they played Norfolk State as a second?
Bowers.
That was the year Bowers came back from the knee and was shooting threes.
Okay, double check on that. I think he tore his ACL and he was out that year. That's why Kimmy played the 4 that whole year. Could be wrong on that though. You can double check that. Couple other notes here. Sophie Cunningham, third team All American. That girl is spectacular. She really, really. Is a great representative for Mizzou, for the state of Missouri. She's a Columbia girl, Rockbridge girl that stuck around, and we talked about this. She had one of the very best careers, probably the single greatest career in women's basketball history at Missouri, and one of the most notable people to ever come through the school. I mean, there were years where nobody could name a single women's basketball player, not one. I mean, you could go probably a decade where. Who played between 2001 and 2010? Name me one women's basketball player. I can tell you for the next 30 years, people are going to say, well, Sophie Cunningham played, and she was amazing. So that's a pretty cool thing. Last thing on this, some Mizzou stuff here. Drew Locke, I have seen recently, I did not see any of this leading up to the draft prior to the time that a text here from David Solomon. Bowers missed 2011, 2012. Yeah. He returned in 12, 13, under Hayes with Alex Oriaki.
I'm thinking Ricardo Ratliff.
Okay.
From that 31 team. It was Denman, English, Ratliff, Dixon, and then the Pressey brothers. And obviously, how could I forget? This is on me. How could I forget Steve Moore? That's just inexcusable.
There you go.
But Bowers was there, obviously, for the last year of Mike Anderson.
Yes. Thank you to Solomon for that. Drew Locke, I had not seen any of this leading up to the draft, but I have seen him mocked to the Giants now in multiple legitimate mock drafts. This wasn't happening at all.
The 17th pick with the Giants. The sixth. Pick.
Okay. Yeah,
I've seen both today. Just today, a bunch of different, Mel Kiper came out with his, The Ringer came out with theirs, a couple other publications, all like today or tomorrow or yesterday, all popped new mock drafts, and I've seen them both in both Giants picks.
Yeah, it's interesting because people have assumed, there's a lot of assumptions going on in the draft right now. The first assumption that people are now doubling back on is that Kyler Murray is your foregone conclusion at number one.
Shocker.
Matt Miller and all that, they have said, look, it's about time just to pen him in there. Turns out everybody's saying that may not be the case here, and they may go ahead and take an edge rusher. If that's the case, and there are two really good ones out there, and then you can't go wrong with Quinnen Williams on the inside either. There are three unbelievable defensive linemen in this draft, Nick Bosa and Josh Allen, the other two. Those three are going to be probably all three top five picks, in my opinion. They're certainly going to be top 10 picks, but those three are unbelievable. And Kyler Murray is the X factor there. Is Arizona going to take him number one? Now, what happens to Josh Rosen if that happens? Josh Rosen, the number one pick for them just a season ago, didn't have any help at all. It was a terrible offensive line. They didn't have too many receivers outside of Larry Fitzgerald there, and it just wasn't a good situation. I still have a ton of faith. He would probably, Josh Rosen, be my number one quarterback in this draft. So the question is, if you are shopping Josh Rosen, who's all interested? Are the Giants interested? Are the Raiders potentially interested? They have the fourth pick. You do have some serious options here where Josh Rosen goes. But if they back off of Kyler Murray and say, we're just taking an edge rusher, we're taking Nick Bosa, and his brother's been unbelievable, he is a better prospect than Joey was. If Nick Bosa goes number one, now what? Because Kyler Murray doesn't fit what the Giants are looking for. The Giants are looking for Eli Manning 2.0. They want a stand-up quarterback who's going to sit in the pocket, because here's why. They have a running back behind them that you're going to hand the ball to 20 times a game for the next 10 years. That's what they want. So what are you going to do? He's not going to go there, so he can slip. Kyler Murray could end up who knows where after that, right? And then it's just a crapshoot. Could he be top 15? Sure. Could he be top 25? Sure. That could be an Aaron Rodgers-like slip. It could certainly happen. So what happens with the Giants, right? And is Derek Carr staying with the Raiders? All of that stuff now floating around, all these questions that I'm throwing out that I don't have any answers to, is the reason you're seeing people legitimately mock Drew Locke at number six, because Dwayne Haskins was in there, but if they're not quite as heavy on him, with the Kyler Murray slip, other quarterbacks going around, Josh Rosen potentially going somewhere, Dwayne Haskins, who knows, could go at number four. I would not pick him at number four. I actually think that he's probably a little more polished than Drew Locke, but Drew Locke has a higher ceiling there. They're all pretty good quarterbacks, pretty similar as far as overall grades and things. So where's he going? I don't know, but I am a little bit surprised that he's being mocked at six when Dwayne Haskins was considered to be the foregone conclusion there to the Giants for about 3 months. When people started mocking, they said, okay, well, the likelihood of this is going way back now. The Cardinals aren't going to go away from Rosen. He's in his second year. Derek Carr was an MVP candidate just a few seasons ago. They're not going away from him. There's no reason, and he's under contract for a while. He's actually one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, I think, making somewhere in the ballpark of $25 million a year. And then you have number six, and everybody said, look, the Giants love Dwayne Haskins. Well, that has all really changed, and so if there is a little bit of a spinning wheel here, you could see Drew Locke in New York, which, to be honest with you, good and bad, right? I think Eli's the type to groom the next guy. That's a good situation to be in, if you ask me. Eli Manning would turn around and say, here's what you do, here's how you do it. Now, Eli, Mr. Interception over the last five seasons or so, is not exactly Peyton Manning breaking it down, outsmarting everybody. He's won a couple Super Bowls because he's got a good arm and a lot of luck. That is it. And by the way, he's a likable guy. But those don't make any mistake here. The Giants won those Super Bowls on a couple really good athletes offensively and great defenses. Really, really good defenses. So can Eli actually groom him? Yeah, and probably better than Joe Flacco if we're talking Denver at number 10. But the other question is, do you want him in New York? New York is heavy, man. Everybody, look, I've seen a lot of people. For years, everybody says, look, the New York media is the worst in America, right? They will go to town on you. Boston, New York, the media there is really rough. L.A. would be rough if they actually cared about football there, but they don't. So the media in L.A. is not bad. But the New York media is tough. And I've recently seen everybody say, look, the New York media is not any tougher than anybody else now that they're social media, now that they're everybody's paying attention. New York media is just like the rest. No, it is not. You are out of your mind. The New York media is the toughest in America because there are so many of them in a city that size that are all looking to rip you to shreds. All right? And by the way, do you actually want to be standing side by side with Sam Darnold 1 year after he was drafted, number 3 overall, and is a really good player? He's going to make it in New York. Do you want to be graded side by side with him playing in the same stadium? I doubt it. I think a better landing spot is still Denver. But if you're talking about a guy that's going to grow, Eli's going to do it better than Joe Flacco. So,
yeah, anyway. I mean, also in New York, he won't have to worry about doing anything but handing off to Saquon until like Saquon's 29, and they have sufficiently run him into the ground.
They
It's like 6 years before, you know, he has to throw the ball more than 220 times a year.
Well, he wouldn't
season,
play this
so
year.
Good.
Eli would.
No,
and then maybe they move on after that. I haven't seen his contract, how many guarantees he has left. But I do know that.
It's a bunch to the point where they're already intimating that he's the 2020 quarterback as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do know that they took away the target that makes your life a lot easier and traded him to the Browns. So all that's tough is certainly tough. We will be covering that over the coming weeks here. But interesting, with the Drew Lock movement, everybody said probably the way it's set up here, his ceiling's 10. But I also thought maybe that's his floor. I just thought 10 was it. Right, it's like, look, if the Giants are as infatuated with Dwayne Haskins as they say they are,
he's a quarterback in a draft where even the top quarterback isn't 100% consensus. I think saying that his ceiling is any, or saying that the floor is anything, he could go anywhere from 4 to 17. 17 is the last.
Yeah, he's not going number one.
Yeah, but anywhere from 4 to 17, I think is 100% in play. Because, yeah, he's not going to go number one, and he will not get past the Giants' second pick.
I would
because if the Giants don't take a quarterback with the first pick and Lock's in there at 17, I think
while
the
Redskins
city
are in there at like 15 or 13,
the Redskins in there at 15. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, 17. I think the absolute last place I could see Drew Lock going at all in the draft. I can't see him dropping past the Giants in the second pick. Yeah. Can't see it.
Yes, you could if they picked Dwayne Haskins in the first.
Well, yeah, but my point there is that if you think Haskins that early, that means Kyler Murray probably went in the top four.
Did
in
you
the top
just
three.
Hadley us?
Kyler Murray went in the top three, which means that just the way the quarterbacks are taken in the draft, it's getting moved up, and he's going still probably before pick 17. This would be my guess.
I think that's probably true. I don't think he slips past Denver still, but I'd be pretty surprised. Geez, maybe there's a 5-10% chance that Oakland takes him. Very, very small. 5, maybe less than 5. And
yeah,
the Giants appear to be growing.
This is, and by the way, take away any Mizzou bias because I'm usually harder on Mizzou players. I don't know how anybody could walk out of this process and be like, yeah, I'll take Dwayne Haskins over Drew Lock. I don't know how. Like, I'm not saying Dwayne Haskins isn't a good player. I just when you
I mean,
can
he's
when,
the all-time
when you see
single season leader
yeah,
in
is.
The Big Ten in touchdowns.
That's fine. I know that, but. You look at the tape. I just don't see it.
Dude, he can really freaking sling
it. I know
it.
He can sling it, but like,
here's the deal. His bust potential is about half of what Drew Lock.
Yes.
About half.
Okay.
That's why you do it.
Fine.
Drew Lock has serious bust potential if he never corrects the few things
Haskins
that really matter.
I think they both have serious bust potential. I think Haskins is the same way. Haskins got 2 or 3 mechanical things that could screw him over completely.
And he is more accurate than Drew at this moment. Not on the deep ball, but pretty much everywhere else. Larry the Cam Girl says he would love to put a baby in Sophia Cunningham.
Aww.
Something tells me she would not agree to that.
Yeah,
Splashback
news, that.
TJ, what is the probability that the best of the mock drafts even get the top 5 picks right? Not very high, 20%, but typically they have the correct 5 to 10 players in the top 5 to 10, just not the right order. There's rarely a guy that somebody has mocked at 33 that comes in at number 8. That is a rarity.
And ever since Al Davis passed away, that chance has actually gotten a little bit higher.
Yeah, most people had Darius Heyward Bey going undrafted, and he went in the 7th pick. I'm joking, but
Mike Mitchell in the 2nd round, ladies and gentlemen, did not see that one coming. Ohio, not Ohio State. That one was shocking.
There is typically they have the right players. This year we know this. Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, and Quinnen Williams are going to be in the top 5 to 10 picks to John Hadley at unequivocally. No question at all. So anyways, fun football talk in the offseason here. We don't get to do it today, very often. Thank you all for hanging out with us. Tomorrow, don't forget, we have the countdown to opening day special, the Tim McKernan Show. A lot of good interviews. Dexter Fowler, Mike Schilt, David Eckstein, former World Series MVP 2006. He was on for a while. They had a lot of really good stuff there, so you will want to hear that tomorrow from 1 to 3.
Guys, after work, get out to Clayton, Tiny Sushi Bar. Cam Jansen's going to be there from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to be a great place. We were just there on Friday to say goodbye to some lovely people and Eric Messersmith and his lovely wife. But get out there. Cam's going to be doing a show today. Get some sushi, get some sake, and listen to some great hockey talk.
We'll sign off on this one, the 3-on-4, with some parting words. John Hadley is still a douche. Fire yourself. Hey, thank you all for hanging out. This is Frank Penny, Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Coming up next, see ya.